Did you ever notice that there's this point during your outbound calls where you've got a really good rhythm going, you've gotten into your zone, and things are clicking? Well, today, we're going to talk about how to get there much quicker. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Before we begin, as always, I have a freebie for you. Now, what I did was, and I don't know if you're aware of this, I conducted some research, and I was looking into the best days and the best times for you to prospect. Now, whether you're prospecting by phone or by email, I've looked into both, and I've condensed it down into one really easy to read side of a PDF, just like a real simple thing. If you guys are like me, you start reading a bunch of technical stuff and it's like, you know, like why, right? So I've put it together in a really easy to digest type of format for you. I promise you, when you read it, you might be shocked. It's not going to be what you expect. So if you want to take a minute, and it, by the way, it's going to take you all of about, I'm telling you, maybe like 45 seconds to read if you're a slow reader. So if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/best day, yoursalesplaybook.com/best day, you can download yours, and I guarantee you it's going to change the way you look at prospecting. So having said that, that's only like a minute here that I kind of went off the path. That's not bad. You know how I feel about these podcasters that are like dicking around for like 15 minutes? For me, it was only like, now it's like a minute and 25 seconds. So anyway, what we're going to talk about today is how to get into your zone much quicker when you're making outbound calls. So you guys know what I'm talking about here, right? Just so that we're all learning from the same perspective, if you will. You know what happens? You're making your outbound calls, and there comes this point where everything is like clicking for you. You feel like you've gotten your rhythm down, and it's usually not right away. And if you're one of those people that like immediately goes into that zone, my goodness, man, you know, like hats off to you. A lot of respect there. But me, I'm not. It takes me a little time to get in there. But, you know, today what I thought we'd talk about is like, how do we fast forward that? Because if you guys are like me, you don't have like a billion hours to invest in prospecting to begin with. So whatever little time you have for prospecting, you want to be able to maximize the effectiveness of that time. So at the core of what I'm going to be reviewing with you today is a very simple premise and a good 6 to 7 ideas on how you could apply this. So I want you to think about athletes. Athletes, before they go into the game, what are they doing? They're stretching and they're warming up. For those of you who jog, what do? Before you go jogging, you stretch. Before you go to the gym, right? You're stretching, you're warming up. For those people out there like me who are musicians, you warm up and you do your stretching. Now, the reason why we do this is because it gets the muscles and the body ready, and it keeps us from getting hurt. Also helps us to go about the task at hand more effectively. And it's the same exact thing with the phone. So I've devised a series of warm-ups that will take you less than 15 minutes to do. Any one of these will take you far less than 15 minutes. In fact, in many cases, you can do more than one of these little exercises inside of that 15 minutes. So you could do multiple exercises during that time. And again, the whole point today is how do we get you into that zone quicker? Because, you know, it's almost like that old saying, right? You measure twice and you cut once. Well, in prospecting, if we can just spend a little bit of time getting you warmed up, think about how much better those phone calls are going to be if we could just get you there a little bit sooner. So without further ado, let's talk about idea number one. Idea number one is quite simply calling your voicemail at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, right? And you don't have to do the one at the end of the day. I'll do some splaining in a minute about that. But on your way to work, think about it. You're in the car anyway. You're going to call your voicemail. Now, here's what I want you to do when you call your own voicemail. There are like different things that you could be leaving in terms of that voicemail. And this is just to practice and to get the vocal cords going. You could practice the opening statement that you typically will use when you're cold calling. How about some talking points that you usually will do during a cold call, if you will, or during your prospecting? It could even be talking points for a very specific call, like you're going to be calling the ABC company today to review that proposal, whatever. So you could go through maybe a few of the talking points. You could also, because the point here is to change it up a bit, right? You could also talk through some of the rebuttals that you have to typical phone objections. You could even change your flavor of your messaging, which is really, really important in prospecting. You can change it. You can change the flavor to maybe a fun and funny type of opening statement or a fun and funny type of voicemail if you have to leave one. How about one, like an opening statement that is full of facts? Or how about, you know, how you would talk through a follow-up call after you've already emailed them? But you guys get the idea. But what you're going to do is you're going to call twice a day. Now, in both cases, I don't want you to spend more than about 30 seconds. You could spend more than that if you want, but I want to make these so simple that you actually do it. But if this is going to turn into an exercise that's going to take you, you know, like 20 minutes to do just this one, well, then I don't know about you, but like to me, that's starting to get tedious. So think about this. No more than about 30 seconds, that message that you're going to leave yourself. Then what I want you to do when you get to the office and you can safely do it, review your message. And when you do that, I don't want you to spend more than, I don't know, like about a minute or maybe 2 minutes at most. Just kind of review it. Listen to your voice. Listen to your confidence level. Listen to the message itself. Pretend you're the person receiving this from you and just think like they would. Would it be compelling? Does, you know, again, does that confidence level just really radiate in there? And if you do that for 1 to 2 minutes, and you leave a message in the morning for 30 seconds, that's 2.5 minutes. And then you do the same thing a little bit later, right? Well, that's about 3 minutes. And if you do the review a little bit later, well, it's going to be 3 to 4 minutes tops, right? You could even like trim down that time a little bit, but it's something that's not going to take you a lot of time. But here's the deal. If you do this twice a day, just 2 times a day, we're not talking about something that's going to take any kind of a major chunk out of your day because you're in the car anyway doing this, if you think about it, except for the part when you review it. And that's just like a safety thing. But if you do this 2 times a day, that's 10 workouts a week, and that's 500 more a year. Now think about that. I mean, are you working out every single day now? I mean, you do it probably for your health, but I mean, do you do like a phone workout every single day? And I'm going to guess 99.9% of the people listening to this don't do any warm-up. They just hit the phones and they just get cranking with it. But imagine if you were to do this each and every day, getting the vocal cords going, you're getting practice talking through some of the points, you're getting practice listening to it like your prospect is going to, like pretending you're the prospect. So there's a lot of good that can come of it. So idea number one is to call your voicemail twice a day. That's number one. Number two, I call this one the exploratory call. Now think about this. When, you know, I think it's safe to say, and I think we'd all agree, that the difference in quality between the first few calls you make and the calls that you're making once you get into your zone are probably going to be night and day. I mean, I've been doing this now and seriously, like actively picking up the phone and calling people for 34 years now, almost 34 years. Right now it's 33 years. It's about this summer. It'll be 34 years. I feel weird like saying that. That's why I was like 34. Wow. It's like Uncle Paul is becoming like old fart status here. But so like I've been doing this forever. And, you know, I've realized that those first few calls are almost sacrificial. So I hate to waste them on something good and just not be like at my best. But still, I need to get my vocal cords going. So I do something and I call them exploratory calls. So it's like much as you try to research companies before you pick up the phone, and I'm hoping you're doing that, sometimes we can't get the information that we need, like the person who, in my instance, would be in charge of like hiring sales trainers and keynote speakers and things like that. So with an exploratory call, you're going to grab a handful of them. And again, no more than 15 minutes. 15 minutes would be perfect here. And what you're going to do is call those companies where you don't have the contact information. And you're going to simply call to the front desk or right the switchboard. And you're going to say, I need to get some information out to the person who does the following. And you're going to tell them what it is. It could be buy the printing. It could be hire, you know, the speakers for your events or whatever it is. Fill in the blank. Whose attention can I send this information to? Now, you're going to have some people who are going to guard that like the nuclear-like launch codes right at the Pentagon. And you're going to have other people who are going to give it up. But whether they give it up or they give you a hard time, now you're starting to do a warm-up because now you're sparring with people. Now you're getting like you got to think a little bit quicker, right? You're starting to get in that zone. And P.S., this is not a high-level call that you're making here. So if it goes south real fast, it's not like you're trashing that really important call that you have to make to the ABC company. So this will, again, get the vocal cords going, and it provides a twofer for you. A twofer is when you do, like you get two benefits, at least two benefits, for the price of one action. What's the action? Well, it's an exploratory call. What are the two benefits? The warm-up and guess what? The information. So that when you call back, whenever it is, later that day, next day, 2 weeks from now, you don't sound like a guy who's like going down a list and saying, hi, could I speak to the person? No, you say, hi, could I speak to Mary Jones, please? How cool is that? Especially if the name is Mary Jones. Because if you ask for Mary Jones and it's Todd Smith, man, that's a big problem. But anyway, so let's go on to item number three. Item number three is a real simple thing. You could do it inside of 15 minutes, right? Again, that's the theme of all of these things. And I'd like to refer to it as sparring. You know, for those of us who've like ever taken like martial arts or if you've done boxing or whatever it is, right? We have sparring so we can work on our moves. Well, it's the same thing with the phone. And the way that you do this is that you find someone who maybe is on your team. And you guys agree that you're going to, whether it be every morning, might be a little overkill, maybe once or twice a week, you guys are going to call each other and you're going to basically role play a call. And you're going to role play like a cold call. And you're going to call up and that other person's job is to give you a hard time. And it really doesn't have to be something that's like, you got to keep it realistic. And what I mean by that, there's really two sides of being realistic. Number one, you don't want to make it so like unrealistic with the amount of like hard time you're giving somebody that it's really like, you know, like I've been in role plays where people like calling the person a dick and stuff like that. And it's like, I work in New York and like, I think in 30 something years, people like have never called me a dick. I think they have wanted to call me a dick, but they haven't. And it doesn't mean that they wouldn't at some point. I just haven't experienced that. So that's like going over the top a little bit. But on the other side, you don't want to make it so easy like some of these role plays where it's like you throw one objection, the person, you know, like gives you a good rebuttal for the objection. Then you're like, okay, come in Tuesday afternoon. I don't think reality works that way. So my suggestion is, you know, always train tougher than reality. But it really, you have to maintain elements of that reality. So that's what you do. Now, it could be someone, again, that you work with. It could be someone from your LinkedIn network. It could be another sales rep or whatever. But you want to have that agreement with each other. Now, here's my suggestion to you. Again, if we want to train tougher than reality, you need to have a rule with your sparring partner. And the rule is this. I'm going to call you up. And again, it has to be done on the phone because I think you lose something when you're looking at the person. You get visual cues. We want to make this just like it would be a phone call, right? Because that's what you're going to be doing. You're not going to be looking at the person when you do it. So what you want to do is you're going to call up with your opening statement, and they're going to hit you with an objection. Now, your job is to not only respond to it one way, but to have at least three different responses for typical objections that you're faced with. So let's just say I call up Mary and I give my opening statement and she says to me, you know what, Paul, you know, that sounds all well and good, but, you know, we're all set. I have to give her three responses to I'm All Set. And if I call up and she says, which I think is everybody's favorite freaking objection, we're not interested. My job is I have to give her three. And the reason why is because we're training tougher than reality. If my theory is if you can have three different responses at the ready, you can certainly pull one good one right out of the hat when the time comes. So that's what you're doing. So that's idea number three, sparring. Now, the first three were more, if you think about it, physical warm-ups, right? We had idea number one was you were calling your voicemail. And that's physical because you're talking through your opening statement and talking points and rebuttals and things like that. And it gets the vocal cords going. So you're physically doing this. Idea number two was the exploratory call, where we're calling the switchboard and we're saying, I need to get some information out to the person who, could you tell me whose attention I could send that to? Again, getting the vocal cords going, getting used to some objections and handling it. And you're kind of sparring in a way, in some cases, with a, an operator or a receptionist or an assistant or whatever. And idea number three, it was like the last of the physical ones, and it was sparring. And you're going to get either a coworker, someone from your LinkedIn network, maybe someone you network with at the networking events or whatever. It could even be, heck, in the past, I used to do this like with my wife, right? And she's not in sales, so we're able to do this. And, those are like physical ones. But now there are some mental warm-ups that I think you need to do. So the very first one is music. And what's really cool about music is that we've been around this concept our whole life. And when we've gone to concerts and we've gone to sporting events, what happens? What are they doing prior to the game and prior to the concert? They're playing kick-ass music to get the crowd pumped up. You need to do the same thing. Now, how about this other scenario that I talk about a lot? You're driving along in the car and you hear one of your favorite songs from a while ago. What happens when you hear the song? You're taken back to that magical time. And it's almost like it's a mental trigger, if you think about it. It triggers happy memories for you. Like, I have songs to this day, I hear it, and all of a sudden, I'm, a senior in high school, and we're all, like, crowded into my friend Paul's car. And, we're listening to these songs because those were the songs that were going on. I also have a song that is very symbolic to something I was going through at the time. My wife and I, Mrs. Uncle Paul, we were high school sweethearts, and we were married a few years, and we knew that we had to get to a certain financial level before starting our family. And, it just wasn't clicking for me, right? It just wasn't like I wasn't getting enough money in, and I was in sales. So I remember at the time, every time I would hear this one song that came on the radio, it was always when I was out there hustling and going to an appointment. And during this one particular time, this one song was out when everything was clicking for me. So when I hear that song to this day, it takes me back to a much younger version of myself, wanting to start my family. And all of a sudden, starting to like shift around the odds in my favor and getting out there and kicking ass. I remember hearing the song when I landed the DuPont account and when I landed a chain of stores out here in New York. So I have it on a playlist. Like, why wait? Like, for like fate to kick in. Why wait for your favorite radio station to play a song from like 20 years ago, whatever? So I have a playlist. I have multiple playlists on my smartphone. And one of them is specifically designed to get me into that optimal state of mind mentally. Like, and you guys know the feeling, like where like you're ready to tear bumpers off of cars. So that's one of the things that I would recommend that you do, kind of like a homework assignment from the podcast, where you make up playlists. And you could have playlists for different types of things, but in this context right now, we want to do a mental warm-up. We want to get you feeling good. I mean, think about this. Do people, can they sense what kind of mood we're in when we call them? What do you guys think, right? Like, and I'm not going to wait for you to answer because I can't hear you, and you're going to look like a lunatic, like talking to like your car by yourself or whatever. Except in New York, we do that all the time and give people the finger. That's like what we do. But seriously, I mean, when you think about different playlists and things like that that you can do, are there songs that really pump you up and make you feel motivated enough so that when you pick up the phone, people can sense more confidence and somebody who's in a better mood? Because I think people not only can sense what kind of a mood that we're in, I don't think they're going to consciously say, wow, Castain sounds like he's in a shitty mood. I don't really think they're going to do that. I think it's more, many times we have feelings that are at a subconscious level, and it's like a gut feeling. And when we have a gut feeling about something we can't put our finger on, we avoid it, right? It's like classic fight or flight. So I really believe that people not only can sense what kind of mood we're in, but I believe they can respond in kind. So if I'm in an uptight mood, I think it's very easy for you to respond uptight to me. And think about that. I mean, haven't you experienced that? Like where you go to a store or something and the person behind the counter is being kind of a dick to you. Guess what? Well, you know, you might be more inclined to be a little dicky back, right? And it's the same thing with many other things in life. So the whole point here is to mentally get yourself pumped up. In fact, one of the trademarks that I've had over the years with some of the sales teams that I've either worked on as a sales manager, or now that I do consulting and sales training and I work with vice presidents of sales, is like one of my trademarks is telling them, hey, look, early in the morning before everybody hits the phones, make it like a sports event and make it like, you know, their concert. Get like some kick-ass music, like playing at like high decibels. And as a matter of fact, I'll never forget, like I just had a flashback to when I worked for Dale Carnegie. I remember like people would walk into our wing and, you know, like you'd have all this really cool music playing early in the morning to get us into that zone where we're ready to go out and kick ass. The next thing, this is suggestion number 5. As far as the mental warm-up goes, you could do the same thing as the music playlist, but have a comedy playlist. A comedy playlist is very, very important, because here's the deal. When, you know, first of all, if you have any issues with nerves when it comes to the phone, whether it's call reluctance or you get a little nervous or whatever it is, listening to comedy before you hit the phones is going to really ease your nerves. And the reason why, it's really hard for you to be nervous after you just like pissed your pants laughing. Seriously, I mean, it's very hard to do that. And you think about it, like times when you're in just such a good mood, it's hard to frown when you're smiling. So think about this. If people can sense the mood that we're in and they respond in kind and we listen to some things that enable us to laugh our ass off and kind of lose just some of the like crap that we're thinking about and force us to relax, we're going to get into that zone a little bit quicker. So your next assignment, the first assignment was create a kick-ass music playlist. The second assignment would be create a comedy playlist. And you know, one of the things you can do, and I think it's a tad illegal, so if anything happens, you didn't hear it from me. I'm in enough trouble with the authorities. If you go to, I think it's mp3.org, I think it is, mp3.org or something. Oh, no, I'm sorry. youtube.mp3.org. youtube.mp3.org. What you can do is you can go on YouTube. You can find like a comedy snippet, you know, 5 minutes. I think it's like up to like maybe 9 or 10 minutes long. And you take the URL and you like do like a little copy. And then you go over to youtube.mp3.org, or it might be youtube-mp3.org. I'm not sure. It's one or the other, by the way. And you do a little cut and paste action, you can start to build your list for free. So you're welcome. But like I said, you get in trouble. You didn't hear from me. Blame it on your boss, right? You could do that little payback is a bitch type of thing going on. But that's a cool thing. But you need to create this playlist. So here's what we're doing here as part of the mental warm up. You know, they say success, a high degree of it, like I think I've heard 85%, I've heard even like 90, 95%, but a high percentage of our success in life is based on our personal psychology, our belief system, and our ability to manage like the garbage, right? And the negativity, and just to get out there and just have a powerful can-do attitude. Well, sometimes we need a little help to do that. And this is where these little mental warm-ups are going to help you. Again, you could be listening to this in your car. This is not going to, you know, instead of listening to sports radio or something else, you could actually listen to music intentionally that's going to get you into kick-ass music. Every song you're going to be listening to is going to be kick-ass because you picked it. Every comedy routine you listen to is going to be kick-ass because you chose it. So you're going to go to work in a much better mood. And when you hit those phones, you're going to be completely relaxed, which is going to make a huge difference. A huge difference. So the final thing, it brings us to item number six, is, and this is a little corny, but I truly don't care about things that people think are corny. I care about, like, me doing well with it. Unless it's something that could hurt somebody else, I generally make a note to give a shit what other people think. You know, this is something that, like, works, and you shouldn't care about it, but I call it your whys. The things that motivate you to do what you're doing. The things that you want in your life. So I have two different things that I do. And the first thing that I did was and it didn't cost me anything. I went on to, the App Store or whatever on Apple, and I downloaded iMovie from my phone, right? Free app. I think there might even be one that you pay for. I got the free one. And what you can do with iMovie that is really awesome is that you could do the equivalent of a vision board, except a vision board on steroids. So what I did was I went onto the internet and downloaded pictures of the things that I want in my life and the things that make me feel good. And I had pictures on there of, like, some of our favorite restaurants that me and Mrs. Uncle Paul go to. I have a picture of a cruise ship because we have our 30th wedding anniversary coming up in 2 years. And I want to take, all my kids and their, you know, girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff like that. And I realized that is going to cost a small fortune to do it. But I want to do this. I want to renew my vows with Laura on some beach in the Caribbean and get, like, hammered out of my skull afterwards. I mean, if we're being honest, you'll always get a straight answer from me. And that's going to cost some money. So I have that on there because that's one of the things I'm working toward. I have some of the logos of the charities that I support. Many of you know I'm very passionate about the Cancer Society. Lost my dad to cancer. My wife was, and she's fine now, was diagnosed a few years ago with breast cancer. So I have that, St. Jude, I'm very passionate about. So I have the things that I really want in my life, my camping trips that I like to take. I have pictures, you know, of the tent and, you know, selfies, me smoking a cigar out in a beach chair, all these things that I want. And I make sure and you can soundtrack it. So now you're marrying the visual, the power of good visuals and the things that you want in your life with some really good music. The one thing I didn't tell you, and I do want to take a moment to tell you about it, because I like to beat the hell out of this one story. There is one picture that I have that means more than anything else that I have. And I always have it there. And it's the picture of the very first day that my family and I arrived at Disney for a 13-day dream vacation back in 2006. Now, you might be thinking, well, if you've already done that, why would you have it there? Because I captioned that picture, and the caption on that picture says, "Never underestimate the power of belief." Never underestimate the power of belief. I set the goal to bring my family to Disney when I had lost every nickel that I had. I lost my first business. I lost, both of my cars were repossessed. I was $60,000 in debt back in 1995. And it was very difficult for me because I was making all kinds of money. And I then had to start over and work a night job for $8.50 an hour, by the way. And then, you know, when I kind of pulled myself up a little bit by the bootstraps, not too much, I went and I started all over in sales for a sales job that had a base pay of $19,000. And I'll never forget in that job, I had people hanging up on me, you know, deals that I thought were short things that fell through. And I remember looking at that picture of Disney. And back then, it was just a picture of the Magic Kingdom. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get my family here. And I kept kind of mentally going through the gates of Disney. In fact, I always joke around and say that if Disney knew how many times I went through those gates as an unpaid guest, they would probably present me with a bill for $250,000. Seriously, several times a day, somebody hung up on me. I looked at the picture and I'd say, get off your ass, Castaigne. You're going to get your family there. When I'd win a deal, I'd look at that picture and say, you are now one step closer to Disney. It took me 10 years to dig my family out of the mess. But in 2006, I changed the picture from a picture of the Magic Kingdom to a picture of the Magic Kingdom with my wife and my three children standing in front of it. And that's why to this day, it's captioned, never underestimate the power of belief. Because, you know, we have to continue to believe in ourselves. Now, I want to offer a little caveat. And many times when we talk about some of these things, I'm going to be honest with you. What I just told you for some of you might seem really, really corny and hokey. And that's okay that you feel that way. As a matter of fact, I remember being in this discussion years ago on LinkedIn. And we were talking about, like, you know, what are the little things that you do to kind of kick your own ass and motivate you? And people were saying, I've got a picture of a Porsche that I want to get, and I have a picture of this, or I do this other thing. And everything was going great. And then this one dude came in, and he was such a buzzkill. And he was like, well, I guess if you have to do those things to motivate you, whatever. And it was such a buzzkill because pretty much everybody at that point, I don't know if they became embarrassed or ashamed of themselves, they backed off. And I'm here to tell you, seriously, never give a shit what other people think of you. Seriously. I mean, I would not. I would when it's offensive. I would when you're doing something that might be morally or ethically wrong. But you do whatever it is that you have to do to go out there and fight the good fight, so long as it's between ethical and legal. And I'm also here to tell you that every year since I've had those pictures on my desk, when I've had year-over-year improvements on my earnings and my sales and my revenue and growing my business and tripling Castaigne Training Systems, every time I pay my taxes, the IRS will not allow me to take a deduction because I created that revenue doing something corny and hokey. They don't give a shit either, and you shouldn't. So you never, ever, there's a lot of peer pressure in sales, by the way. Make a note to give a shit. Dismiss those people. You worry about your own thing. Unless they're going to come in and guarantee your mortgage for you and pay your bills, you do whatever it is that you need to do. But what we have today is several things. We had three physical warm-ups. Call your voicemail. Do the exploratory call. Do some sparring with a teammate. We have three mental warm-ups where you have a playlist that makes you feel good. We have comedy that gets you to lighten up and laugh a little bit. And then create your whys, whether you do this on like that iMovie type of thing where you have pictures and you have music and then you just watch this every single day. Or you make like a collage and keep it on your desk. I have both, by the way. And I would invite you to do both. So there you have it, folks. You have six ways for you to warm up and get into your zone faster. But before you go, I want you to save the date. I have something that I haven't offered now in over a year. We had a course that was hands down our most popular course that we had ever launched. And I mean, it was nuts, seriously. And the name of the course was, it was called Prospect Like a Pro. And back then, it was six sessions that we did, and it was triple the price that I'm going to be offering it now. And what I've done is I've created something now where we've condensed it down to two sessions, and it's a third of the price that it was. So it's affordable, and yet you don't have to invest the time that you would going through six online sessions. So I want you to save the date from May 4th at 11:30 a.m. The name of the course is called Prospect Like a Pro. And let me tell you what you're going to gain or gain by joining us. Because you guys know me, I'm not editing that shit out. So it's going to stay there. And the word shit is staying. So bunch of things that you're going to get for joining us or janing us if you prefer. I don't care. 30 ways to find potential clients who have a higher probability of needing what you sell today. That's really important that we get in front of the right people. We talk about qualifying all the time. This is just a great way to do it. We're also going to talk about how to research quickly and efficiently so it doesn't become your life's work. I think a lot of you avoid the researching because you know it's going to be less calls that you're going to make. But yet, if we research properly, you don't have to make as many calls. So how do we like have a happy balance of that? I've got a great system for you. We're going to talk about 33 ways to approach a potential client. Three ways to dramatically increase the probability of someone taking your call. Let me translate that for you. How to get people to pick up the damn phone when you call. All right? Is that nice and blunt? That's what we're going to talk about because I know that frustrates the heck out of me. It's like, pick up your phone. Well, I've got three ways to get people to pick up their phone without you being an ass about it. Also, how to create a prospecting cadence that maximizes exposure. You ready for this? But limits the probability of becoming what experts refer to as a pain in the ass. Right? Isn't that a fine line? It's like, how do I be persistent, not be a pain in the ass? Right? How do I keep showing up in a way, you know, instead of like neglecting them? I got to stay top of mind, but I don't want to be this pain in the ass. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 15 email templates, and I'm going to give them to you. And these are 15 email templates that get opened, read, and responded to. That's always a good thing to have those three things. Imagine that, an email that actually gets open and read and responded to. How to craft an objection-resistant dialogue. And I actually have a template for that too. Lots of templates, by the way, I'm going to be giving out. We're going to talk about 12 ways to prevent skepticism, doubt, resistant, and yes, objections. There it goes again. A three-step formula, because sooner or later you are going to get an objection. If I could be the guy that invents the system that you would never get an objection, my gosh, I could retire right now. And maybe someday I will. Retire, that is, instead of like having to do this for like 100 because of you guys killing me. But seriously, this is a three-step formula that you can use for about 95% of the objections that you guys are going to be faced with. And we're also going to talk through what to say and how to handle typical objections that we know people are always going to like have out there for us. Three really cool tactics to use when somebody tells you to send them information. And this is very different than the things that you guys have been taught that are out there. Four types of voicemails that capture the recipient's attention, and I'm going to give you templates for all four. So if you guys would like to learn more, and I'm hoping you do because this is something, it's been a year since I offered it. It'll probably be another year. And the reason why is this. You might be thinking, well, if it's doing really good for you, why the hell aren't you doing it more often? Because time commitment. You know, in the past, for me to set aside time for six sessions, it was very, very hard with my schedule. Now it's even harder because I'm busier than I was a year ago. So two sessions, well, I could do it. But for the most part, we've been doing a lot of like just like one-off type of webinars. So it's going to be a while before we do something like this again. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourprospecting. Let me say it again. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourprospecting. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.